Well, good morning. It's good to be here to worship with you, and we're so thankful for God's grace to us. you're going to be hearing some adoption stories this morning, and I remember when we were in the process of adopting, we were trying to explain it to our kids, and that actually was a neat thing, you know, talking with our kids about what adoption is. And we tell them, you know, there's kids who don't have mommies and daddies, and we would tell different aspects. We told them it's, you know, cost a lot of money, so we have to pray about that. I remember then a little while after that, when we heard we were going to Japan to pick up our baby, I remember hearing my daughter tell someone, "We're going to Japan to buy our baby." And it sounded so black market at that point, so illegal. So we had explained to her that we're not buying babies. But I'm looking forward, and I think you'll be blessed by today's sharing. So let's take a moment, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy, for the chance that we have, Lord, to not only learn and hear about adoption of kids, Lord, but to hear about your adoption of us. So as we come before your word, Lord, will you humble us? Will you excite us for the prospect of each one of us being involved in the care of those who can't care for themselves? We thank you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. The past couple of weeks, we've been discussing orphan care and adoption. And our argument kind of has been that though not everyone's called to adoption, everyone's called to be involved in orphan care in some way, to reach out to those who are the fatherless in the world. The reason is simple. We came to James 1:27, which says this: "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world." Now, James here is not arguing that orphan care gets you saved or that the only part of Christian faith is orphan care, but he is saying that those who have been genuinely saved will take an interest in the helpless of the world. Okay, so whether you're a junior hire, whether you're retired here, God's calling you to take an interest in those who have never, who can't help take care of themselves. However, our interest in orphan care and adoption runs much deeper than just this verse in James. Our interest in the adoption of others really begins with God's adoption of us. Let me explain by reminding you of the gospel. In the beginning, God created all of us. So he created you. He made you. And he made you to live with him, our heavenly Father, in perfect relationship. It was supposed to be joyful. We were called to obey and to serve, but it wasn't slavish. It was joyful and wonderful. Unfortunately, sin enters the world and it ruins everything. We are now not only sinners by action, but by nature. And that sin means that our relationship with God is broken. I mean, he's a perfectly holy God. He can't be in the presence of sin. In fact, it says he takes sin so seriously that he's going to pour out his wrath upon sin. Right? And so you can imagine that each one of us then lives as orphans, no longer in relationship with our Heavenly Father. There's nothing we can do. Being a good person will not get you into heaven because you've already broken God's law. Punishment is coming. Imagine you commit some great crime and you tell the judge, "You know what, from now on, I'll be really good." What will that get you? There's nothing we can do, but fortunately God could do something amazing, and he does in sending his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ not only comes to live among us, to be a teacher, to tell about God, but he comes to live in our place. The perfect life that I was supposed to live, he did it for me. And then he goes to the cross, and the punishment that I was supposed to suffer, the wrath of God that I was supposed to suffer, he took upon himself. So imagine that. I'm the sinner. I'm the rebel. I deserve God's wrath. I deserve hell. And God, in his grace, he sends Jesus. And Jesus goes to the cross. And my sins are credited to his account. And he goes to the cross, and he's punished by God for my life. And conversely, because I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior, his perfectly righteous life is credited to me. And I'm now declared innocent. I'm forgiven of my sins, declared innocent through the blood of Jesus, and I'm promised an eternity in heaven. Jesus, of course, didn't stay dead, but he was resurrected, and he is the promise of new life. But our salvation isn't just about a change in legal status. Before I was guilty and now I'm declared innocent. It's not simply about a change in destination. Before I was going to hell and now I get to go to heaven. It's also about a change in relationship. Galatians 4:4-7 says this: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Okay, so think about that. I was an eternal orphan with no home and judgment awaiting me, and now I've been adopted by God and I am His child. And this isn't just illustrative language, right? Like I'm saying, you know, the Bible says you're kind of like orphans and then God adopts you. The Bible says you are orphans until God adopts you, and now you are His children. And with that comes all the privileges of being sons and daughters of the living God. Can you even kind of get your head around that idea? I've been thinking, obviously, a lot about this idea of adoption lately, and it's just hard for me to fathom. I deserve wrath because I'm a sinner, and yet Jesus took that upon Himself, and now I actually get to live as a child of God. We could say a lot about that, but for this morning's purposes, let me just say that adoption changes everything. Rather than just live for ourselves, our adoption means that we live for things beyond ourselves. We can share the love that we have been shown by God to the helpless of the world. Our adoption means that rather than live in fear as orphans do, we live in confidence as sons and daughters of the God of the universe. We can extend ourselves in such challenging endeavors as orphan care because we have God, our Father, Himself walking with us in this. Our adoption means that we have an inheritance from God. And we have an inheritance in God. He is our inheritance. And because of that, we have all we need to live faithfully, no matter what He calls us to do. I mean, even take in a child that's not your own, we can do that because God is with us. And our adoption gives us an eternal perspective on life. No longer do we assume that this life is all there is. We live for eternity. And one way we do that is loving the helpless of the world. So this morning, to illustrate this, we're going to get to listen to some adoption stories. By that I mean don't mean simply stories of couples adopting children, but stories of people who were undeservedly adopted by God, and who then lived out their adoption by taking in an orphan or the fatherless of the world. In other words, it's not just a story about four couples adopting children; it's a story of four couples who were adopted. And then they lived out that adoption. So we're blessed, and I'm so looking forward to this morning. We get to hear four testimonies from Gavin and Lorraine Kajikawa, from my wife Jen, from Ryan and Carrie Narasaki, and from Kelly and Shelley Kira. As they share, my encouragement is to you is this. As you listen to their stories, listen not just for the testimony of adopting children, but listen for the testimony of God adopting them. So with that, Gavin and Lorraine, come up and share with us.
As the short-term missions team from Evergreen SGV caught our connecting flight from Hong Kong to Nanning, I remember thinking two things as we boarded the airplane. First, I hope this plane doesn't crash since it looked like it had its heyday in the late 80s. And second, I pray that God would use me to minister, to love, and to connect with one or two little ones at the orphanage we would be serving at. The year was 2001, and the month was April. And when we arrived at the Christian-run orphanage, the purpose of the medical team was to help the children who had physical disabilities by providing evaluations and plans, giving checkups from the pediatrician, and cleaning the teeth of all the orphans and orphanage workers. I handed out a toothbrush and toothpaste to the kids as they left the dentist. That's what pastors do on a medical team. Our days would be full of working hard to get all the kids through the different checkups, but after dinner, there was a mix of team meetings, times of prayer and worship, and free time to go up to the second story where the nursery was. I remember the first time walking into the nursery where all the cribs were. They were lined up against the walls with the baby's names on the cribs. And the far wall of the nursery had a low mirror for the babies to look at. And in the middle of the warm room was a soft, colorful mat for the babies to play on. I walked around the room and eventually noticed that every baby in that nursery was a girl, except for one. and he was only in there because he had a cleft palate. The reason for the flood of girls was a negative result of China's one-child policy. Families simply wanted boys. Early on in the trip, some of the team members and I would make our way up to the nursery to hold and play with the babies. God answered my prayer, and my heart gushed for two girls, Xiao and Zheng. Xiao was a big, round-faced girl, and Zheng had curly hair and rosy cheeks. I remember holding these girls and quietly praying for them, praying that God would allow them to hear the gospel, praying that they would go to Christian homes, praying that they would know the love of Jesus. I wanted these girls to know the love of the Heavenly Father through my times of holding them. I distinctly remember playing with Xiao and hearing her say, Baba. I was so excited and emailed Lorraine saying, I heard Xiao say some sounds like it was like Baba, without knowing what it meant in Chinese. Lorraine wrote back and saying, Baba means daddy. My heart melted. Thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayer. I remember thinking about the verse, the first will be last and the last first. That's what it's like when these girls who are the lowest on society's totem pole would be when they were adopted by a Christian family. They would have the opportunity to hear about Jesus and, God willing, become a princess, a daughter of the Heavenly Father. I distinctly remember there is such a need to adopt these girls. They are being abandoned because they're girls. They need a mommy and a daddy. I saw the need firsthand, and I knew I would do something about it. God was calling me to live out my faith, and for me, it meant to adopt. I would have brought home both of those girls along with my knockoff Ralph Polo shirts, but that time was not right. One day I knew we would adopt a baby girl from China, but was the Lord saying the same thing to Lorraine?
So China is a country that God had placed on my heart when I was in college. During college, I had the privilege to go on a missions trip to China, ministering to other college students and visiting villages of a minority group. During this trip, God gave me a heart to pray for the people of China and a desire to be used in some way to reach out to this country. At that time, I didn't know how God would use me in the future, but I was praying for him to show me. Fast forward to 3 years later and 6 months of dating Gavin. 2 days after Gavin got back from China, we spent the day together sharing about what the Lord had been teaching us during the 2 weeks he was away. During those 2 weeks of praying for Gavin while he was in China brought a renewed urgency and a compassion for the people of this country. Surprisingly to me, this compassion was for the orphans. I would like to share what I wrote in my journal at that time as it captures perfectly what the Lord had been teaching me. Quote, I shared tonight with Gavin how God opened my eyes 2 Sundays ago in Sunday school, more of his heart for China, especially for the orphans. For some reason, my eyes were never opened to them while I was in China, except for the one time when I saw these two young children who were being improperly used to get money from tourists. It was heartbreaking to see. As we studied the book of Micah, and as my Sunday school teacher shared what God had placed on his heart of the social injustice towards orphans, I thought of Zhao, which is the orphan girl we were sponsoring in China. And I thought of Gavin and his new relationships with Xiao and Zheng. My prayer was, break our hearts, Lord, for what breaks your heart. Break our hearts for the orphans. May we live lives that reflect a pure and undefiled religion, to be doers of your word, to visit orphans and widows in distress, to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. My prayer was that we would be a compassionate couple. I shared with Gavin how I looked forward to how God would use us together to give and show love and compassion to others. The question that sparked this was the question my Sunday school teacher proposed to us. Why did God create and place you to be born in such a rich country where you have received so much? There is a reason. He has blessed us with so much so that he can use us to bless others. He desires for us to be a compassionate and giving people. It was a good time of sharing with Gavin. Both of us look forward to how God will continue to break us, refine us, and use us. He already has, beginning with Joe. End quote. Our discussion that day led us to think about adoption, and I thought maybe this would be the answer to prayer on how God would use me to minister to this country. Fast forward again, now to our 4th year of marriage. After a couple of difficult years with infertility, God gave us peace to start the adoption process in China, from China. Now that had become a reality, there were some fears I faced that I didn't realize I had. I knew this was something God was calling us to do, but I couldn't help asking myself these questions. Would our families approve and love the child as they would their own flesh and blood? What if the child had special needs, whether known or unknown? Would I have what it takes to care for her? What if I don't have the same bond with the child as a biological mother and child would? How would I answer questions the child may have about her birth parents or origins in the future? At first, that has encouraged me and still does while having these fears is 1 John 4:18 to 19. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. This verse comforts me because it reminds me that because of the gospel and because of God's love for me, I can love any child, and he gives me, not on my own strength, but by his grace, love, and power. Fast forward once again, now to our 7th year of marriage. Exactly 1 year ago, the longing for a child and the pain of waiting from China was deep. It had been 2 years since our papers were logged into China's systems, which was January 31st, 2008. I began to pray and ask God if it was his will to explore other options. I began to look into China's waiting child program, which allowed families to adopt children of all ages with special needs, from minor to more serious, or to adopt children that were older. Usually the wait for these adoptions was less than a year. I thought about looking into other countries. I also briefly looked into domestic adoption, foster adopt, and even embryo adoption. I believe that while I was exploring other adoptions, God was preparing my heart for a domestic one. While listening to a local Christian radio station, I learned of an organization called Birth Choice. Birth Choice helps and counsels women with unplanned pregnancies and uses resources such as ultrasounds to help save the lives of babies. While hearing on the radio the testimonies of women who are about to abort their babies but change their minds after seeing the baby and hearing the heartbeat, I began to have an admiration for these women who chose life, and my heart broke for those who struggled with abortion. Shortly after, in May, we were approached with an unexpected opportunity to adopt a baby domestically. We never thought that God would be calling us to a domestic adoption, but we knew that this opportunity was from God and that we needed to pray. We prayed for direction, for peace, and for confirmation. And regardless if we accepted or not, we prayed that God be glorified in the decision and that we would use the time of prayer for ministry, hoping our prayers would minister to the birth mom, birth dad, and the baby. God surprised me how overcome I was with emotions for the birth mom and the baby when I prayed for them. My heart wanted to reach out to her and to share with her God's redeeming love. That week, after much prayer and checking with our China agency to see if the concurrent adoption was okay, we joyfully accepted the opportunity to adopt this baby.
As our church family knows, God's plans are sometimes vastly different than our plans, but always better. Lorraine and I can testify to this fact. God is good, and his ultimate plan has been worked out in our everyday lives. During all the years of waiting to be placed with our daughter from China, little did we know that God was preparing our hearts to receive another little girl. The girl would also need a daddy and a mommy, except she would be born on this side of the Pacific. Only God can work things out like that, where on August 6th, Brielle was born, and on Sunday, August 8th, we took her home as her first child. As soon as we set our eyes on her, we knew she was our daughter. And there were just so many blessings as a result. For one of them was, it just reminded us of the gospel. It reminds us of God and his love and mercy for us. Because we came to faith, we were spiritual. Before we came to faith, we were spiritual orphans looking for love and acceptance in wrong places, trying to hammer out our own identities and doing things stubbornly our own way. But God was the one who came looking for us. He was the one who called us by name. He was the one who took a clean, warm towel and wiped us clean. And he was the one who looked into our eyes and called us his child. Adopting Brielle has taught us to love our Heavenly Father so much more. And another blessing is that he's just taught us to rely upon him for all things. And we can't wait to take our trip as a family of three to China, to hop on a connecting flight on a plane that's way past its heyday, and to embrace our second daughter. We look forward to being a family of four and seeing how God will continue to show his love to us and through us, to this church family and to many others. At this time, we're going to have Jennifer Kira come and share.
Good morning. I'm going to share with you just a little bit about our adoption journey. So the beginning, I think Kim had brought up the idea of adoption, and I hadn't really thought about it seriously. I'd always thought that it was a nice idea, but I hadn't really taken into consideration exactly what it entailed. So when he was talking about being interested, I thought that I needed to really start thinking about it. So I think through a process, God just really placed it upon our hearts to adopt. I think we always wanted more kids. We already had three, but we still were open to more. And I was excited just at the chance to have another baby through adoption, just as a means of serving the Lord and sharing the gospel and using our resources for the Lord. But I think one of the main things that helped me come to the point where I was more excited about adoption is just our Bible studies that we actually went through at Lighthouse. We studied Crazy Love, which is a book by Francis Chan. And that book just really challenged me to think about my love for God and was I willing to do crazy, quote-unquote crazy things for God in light of his love for me. And so I thought, gosh, this is a really good way to do that. And I think the two other books that we read were Living for Eternity and The Treasure Principle. And both of those really helped me as well, just thinking in terms of, am I living for eternity? Are my choices just worldly or the eternal? And am I using the resources that God's blessed me with to honor the Lord? So I think all of those really helped me and led me to want to adopt. And then also the agency that we adopted through, they are basically trying to help moms who would otherwise abort their babies. But because they know that there are these families that are willing to adopt, then they choose not to abort but give their babies up for adoption. So that really appealed to me. What were my concerns and what hurdles did I face? I think there were a lot. I think the first one that popped into my head was just what would other people think. We already had three kids, and I had them really close together, so people had already labeled me as Fertile Myrtle, and so I didn't know what people would think when I told them that I was going to adopt. And I was worried kind of more on my side just what they would think because we already had so many kids. But really, it was needless worrying because our family loves Carson already, and it's only been a couple months. I think another concern that I had was that I was taking a baby from a couple who couldn't have kids. I think a friend of mine who was having a hard time getting pregnant asked me if she thought that that by adopting that we would be, you know, taking a baby from people who couldn't naturally have kids. And I think that just made me feel bad, and that wasn't our intent. But I think after just discussing this idea with Kim and just, you know, why we would adopt, it just brought me more peace. One book, it's called Adoption for Life by Russell Moore, and he writes, there's no reason whatsoever for you to feel guilty as though you are taking scarce resources by adopting a child when there are childless couples out there seeking to adopt. First of all, a child isn't a resource. He or she is a human being created in the image of God. And secondly, there are more children needing homes than loving Christian parents who are willing to take them in. So I think just through thinking along those lines, my fears were calmed and I felt more convicted to adopt. And I think another hurdle for me was money. It's really expensive to adopt, and so I didn't know if that was what the Lord was calling us to do with, you know, our savings for college or for our kids or retirement. But I think just after studying Living for Eternity and The Treasure Principle, it just really helped me. So as a lot of you know, The Treasure Principle is you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And so I thought, I mean, what better way is there to do that than to adopt a baby who doesn't have a home? I think the other hurdle was one that most of you know about. We had gone to Japan in April to adopt a baby boy, but we weren't able to bring him home because he wasn't able to get his visa. So that was a huge hurdle because at that point I didn't know if you know, if God was calling us to still adopt. All of you know the good ending to that. We were able to adopt. What have been the blessings? There's been so many blessings. I think the biggest one is just having Carson. I think just having the opportunity to see him grow and to really develop so quickly has been such a blessing. In Japan, there was a day when I was thinking I didn't know what I'd gotten myself into, because Carson was not like our other kid. He was not happy. He didn't like the pacifier. He didn't smile much. Didn't like the stroller. And when we got him, he couldn't barely turn his head to the left, and his head was totally flat. And but now, just in these last months, it's been amazing. He's already developing so quickly. He can flip over, and his head's already starting to reshape. And he's happy. So that's such a blessing to be able to serve him in that way. I think another blessing is just that our kids have the opportunity to really understand what adoption means firsthand. They understand what it means for a baby to be helpless and not being able to do anything for himself. And they're able to see how it's possible to be saved from that, from a very challenging and sad life, and given a free gift of new life. And so I hope that they will understand that more deeper as they understand that hopefully they're adopted by God as well. And then the last blessing is just, loving CJ as our own child. I was worried that, you know, since we had other kids, you know, would I love him the same as I would Carson? And yes, it's just instant. So that's been a blessing. So what has God taught me through all of this? I think he's taught me a lot about just trusting his plan and his timing. When we didn't get to bring home the first baby, I was just crushed, and I didn't know what God's plan was. But God was so good. He really used that time. He allowed me to finish my master's degree, which I probably wouldn't have finished if we had gotten the first baby. And he just prepared my heart more for CJ. So I'm very thankful for his timing. And also the baby that we were originally going to adopt, he eventually got adopted into a Christian home as well. And so that is just an extra blessing that two babies got adopted into Christian families. So that was definitely a blessing. And I think he's taught me that just as we're obedient to do the things that he's called us to, and as we follow his word, that we're so blessed in return. So, thank you.
Hello, my name is Ryan. This is my wife, Carrie. And we have five children. We have our daughter, Kylie, who's 5, our daughter, Kitty, who's 2, our son, Seth, who's a newborn, our son, Luke, who's in heaven, and my half-brother, Andrew, to whom we are guardians to. So we haven't adopted Andrew, but we're his guardians. Our decision to take care of Andrew began in 2001. Carrie and I were engaged at the time, and I remember make it my brother Sean's college graduation ceremony at LMU. And while we were there, my dad and stepmother approached us about taking care of Andrew, possibly. They were working on their living trust because my stepmother had recently been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And they asked if we'd be okay being third in line to take care of Andrew if something were to happen. And so Carrie and I gladly agreed to this responsibility. Now, fast forward to 2008, and Andrew's mother had passed away from cancer 4 years earlier, and now our dad had been diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. The cancer had spread, and we knew that our dad's time was limited. Much had changed since that day in 2001. We, now Carrie and I were married. We had our own daughter, Kylie, who was 2. Our son Luke had recently passed away, so it was a very difficult time for us. And Carrie was pregnant with our daughter, Katie. So there was a lot going on. And at this time, my dad had asked if we would be willing to be first in line to take care of Andrew, because things had changed, and the family agreed we were in a good position to take care of him. Now, from a spiritual perspective, I was familiar with James 1:27, where James says that true religion is caring for orphans and widows. Now, in our situation, you could say that Andrew's an orphan, for both his parents passed away. But in reality, he is surrounded by many, many family members who are loving him and willing to take care of him. Nonetheless, I knew the Bible is very clear that our responsibility as Christians is to care for those who are not able to care for themselves. This situation was a chance for Carrie and me to obey his word, to show Andrew love in a very hands-on way, and to glorify God by living out our faith. At the time, Andrew did not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, so I also knew that this would be a wonderful opportunity to share Christ with him and to demonstrate Christ's love through our actions on a daily basis. With all this, though, there were still some concerns, although I can say from my perspective, I didn't have a whole lot of concerns. I think the entire family agreed that Andrew coming to live with us was the best situation for everyone. And Carrie and I did wonder how Kylie would respond to this. It would be a big change for her, and she was 2 years old at the time. And we also managed how we'd deal with time management with another baby on the way. For me, finances were one of the concerns that we had since Carrie was working 3 days a week at the time, and we knew that as soon as we started to care for Andrew, we'd cut back to 1 day a week so that she could help him with his schoolwork and taking him to school, and he was going to school in another city. And then in terms of hurdles, there were some legal formalities of going to court to be appointed as his guardians and learning what it means to be a guardian and learning what the court expected of us in terms of just the responsibilities and keeping track of certain things that they want to see. And then there was also the responsibility for me of executing my dad's trust, which actually ended up being a lot more work than I ever could have imagined. So these were some of the hurdles that we had, or some of the concerns we had.
For me, the decision to be available to take Andrew into our family was an easy one, but one that was not taken lightly. As Ryan said about the time that his dad got sick, we were very much in the midst of grieving our son, Luke. This was not an easy time for us, but I strongly felt that the Lord was giving us this opportunity to demonstrate Christ's love to Andrew. One of the concerns that I had was how Andrew might react to having a mother figure in his life again. As stated earlier, his mom had passed away several years before his dad got sick, while Andrew was quite young. He and his dad basically lived the good bachelor life. So how would Andrew adjust to having two parent figures in his life again, especially that mother figure training him to be a young man? And I can definitely say by God's grace, this has been a very smooth transition for us, although it's taken some time to grow into this relationship.
So what have been the blessings of this decision? I can say that God has blessed our decision to take care of Andrew in so many ways. The greatest blessing was in seeing Andrew become a Christian when he was 12. Andrew confessed Jesus as his Lord and Savior at Mount Hermon about 1 year after our dad passed away. And for me, it's such a blessing to know that Andrew, our dad, and I will all spend eternity in heaven, that we will be reunited there for all eternity one day. Another blessing has been to see Andrew's relationship with our daughters. While he is technically their uncle, Andrew's more like a big brother to them. He plays with them, he helps take care of them, and Kylie can't even remember the times before he lived with us. She assumes he's always been there as part of our family. He's just a part of as much as our kids' lives as we are. Because of Andrew's relationship with our girls, we've also seen him grow from being an only child who was spoiled in many ways, to a young man who has learned a lot about putting the needs of others in front of his own and sharing and being generous.
In addition, it's been such a blessing to witness our families embrace Andrew in such a loving manner. From the get-go, they have treated him as if he were their own grandson, nephew, or cousin. He even gets scolded, or should I say trained, by the grandparents. Also, when Andrew came to live with us, he was in a completely new surrounding, and what a blessing to have church family who live right across the street from us. Josh Rubalcava is Andrew's same age and grade, and it's been really neat to see their relationship grow and their friendship grow, and for them to be able to attend youth group together and just hang out together when they're not in school. there's just been so many blessings that God has taught us through all of this, and Through our experience in taking care of Andrew, God has taught us more and more about his faithfulness. He has blessed this transition that our family has gone through. It's such a joy to see Andrew grow up, his relationship with our kids and our families, and we'll see what happens now that he's a teenager. By following what God has called us to do, even during a time that was so emotionally challenging for us, he has taught us to lean on him and to trust in his will for our family. God has shown his faithfulness in providing financially for our family and allowing us to be able to add on to our home so that we would have enough space for our now family of six. We are thankful for the smoothness of this transition and give all the glory to God who has watched over our family and given us the grace to adjust to this new and challenging circumstance.
Morning. I feel like I should give a shout out to our people in the cry room over there. Those are our peeps now that we're over there all the time. Let's see here. So for us, what led us to adoption? On Father's Day in 2008, my dad approached me and mentioned that he didn't know where we were at having another child, but if we were thinking about adopting, they would help us. I knew we were open to adoption as Shelly and I were able to see firsthand through family on Shelly's side the loving adoption of two boys from Japan about 13 years from earlier. Since we were not able to get pregnant again, and instead of going through tests to find out why, we decided that adoption would be the route for us. I was encouraged by the idea that adoption would allow us to proclaim the gospel in the most intimate way into a child's life. I had written in a letter, it was my desire that Piper would experience two adoptions in her lifetime, once into our family and then again into the family of God. And I revel in the idea that I will be able to share with her the good news of Jesus Christ in hopes that one day he will call her into his kingdom. It may seem odd to adopt from a country like Japan. After all, it's not a third world country where starvation or disease is a problem. But even though Japan may have a lot going for it financially, spiritually, it's a lost country. The percentage of Christians in Japan is extremely low, so we felt by adopting Piper from Japan, we're adopting a child who quite possibly might not otherwise have heard the good news of Jesus Christ.
So what were our concerns? I had three. The first one was, would I love and bond with this baby girl just as much as Zoe? I adored her when I first saw her picture. I completely fell in love with her and knew God handpicked this baby for us after hearing the birth mother's story. And now after having her for a little over a month, there is no doubt that I love Piper Dawn just as much as I love Zoe. I know I didn't carry her in my womb for 9 months, but I know now that that has absolutely nothing to do with bonding or the love I feel for her. The second concern was that I am no spring chicken. I'm almost 42, and some days I feel like twice that. Will my chronic back pain be able to endure the carrying of a 16-pound, 4-month-old? I always tell Kelly that my back's going to hurt anyway, so why not enjoy caring for a sweet little big girl? It is worth every daily backache and sore arm for sure, but I try to carry her with my left arm to balance out my muscles. And now I don't have to go to the gym because the gym has come to me. My third concern was that I loved my easy, organized life. What would a baby bring? My obsessive need to be organized, neat, and prepared is a blessing and a curse. Life before Piper was easy. Zoe's an easygoing, obedient, and neat kid. When I ask her to clean her room, the first thing she does is she lines up her shoes in her closet. And that brings a tear to my eye. She's a mini me. I was not sure how much I wanted to welcome less order into my life. But God changed my concerned, controlling heart during the months of paperwork to a heart ready to welcome a little baby and all that she would bring.
I think a concern for me was the possibility that we would not be able to ultimately adopt. The process is extensive, and at certain points it was nerve-wracking to think that the adoption might not happen. We had to tell ourselves, no matter what, praise God, baby or no baby, we would worship him. In fact, this presented a great opportunity for a teachable moment in the life of our daughter, Zoe. there was a point in the process that we needed to let her know that we are trying to adopt a little baby. But we had to let her know, too, that it was in God's hands whether or not we would actually get a baby. We had to let her know that whatever God's plan was for our family, baby or no baby, we had to be joyful and give him worship. So what were some of the hurdles we faced? Adoption definitely doesn't come without hurdles. One hurdle that we definitely came up against was in the area of finances. And even though we knew expenses were going to be great, to be honest, we weren't that worried. And I think we probably should have been a little bit more worried than we actually were. I think God has allowed us to grow in this area of trust when it comes to finances through many of the life experiences he's taken us through, and more recently through the giving campaign. Nonetheless, adoption from Japan is considered to be the most costly adoption there is, because the adopting family pays for the birth mother's medical care. Our birth mother ended up requiring medical care for an additional 3 months prior to giving birth. So our invoice was a lot more than we imagined. But God was so faithful through it, and he showed us his lavish grace through our friends and family. And it's humbling and amazing to experience the generosity of God's provision through those he surrounds you with.
A second hurdle was travel. We only got a week's notice before we needed to be in Japan to receive Piper. A brother at Lighthouse, Larry Tang, so generously gave our family his mileage, and he booked our flights for Kelly, Zoe, and I round trip, even coming back in style in business class, which was really nice. He gave without expecting anything in return, although we are open to dropping Piper off any time with you, Larry, if you like. A third hurdle was accommodations. We needed a place to stay in Japan, and we couldn't afford very much. A month before we knew we'd be going, our friend, who is a full-time missionary in Japan, contacted Kelly and invited us to stay free of charge at Evergreen Chapel, where she serves, and where Kelly and I served on short-term missions together about 10 years ago. During our whole stay, we had the luxury of a two-bedroom apartment with a kitchen and free Wi-Fi. We were taken care of in every way. So what have been the blessings? First of all, to know that we have been given the wonderful responsibility and privilege to shepherd Piper's heart and to love her is amazing. She is our little personal mission field God has placed in our hands. To have her middle name be Dawn also means a lot to me, as I still cherish memories of my dad. We've also had the opportunity to witness a little to the birth mother. I have a real heart for the trials she went through, and I'm hoping for an opportunity to somehow be able to share Christ with her more in the future.
The blessings are too numerous to name, but I'll just mention a couple. I think some of the greatest blessings is to see Shell become mommy to another little girl and to see Zoe become a big sister. Shell is, you know, she's such a great mother and so wonderful with kids, and it's neat to see her with Piper. She's so natural and at ease taking care of her and all with such love. And I love to watch Shelly carry Piper. She holds her in such a way that it looks as if God perfectly fit them together. Zoe, too, has been an amazing big sister. On the day we went to pick Piper up from the adoption agency, she turned to me and said she had been waiting for this day for 5 years. She later reminded me that when she was two, she asked Mommy if she could have a baby in her tummy. She loves her little sister, and she loves to help with her. And this was also another chance to teach Zoe. We told her a new baby requires a lot of mommy and daddy's time and that she needed to be patient. And she has been so great in understanding about all the tension that Piper gets, and she never complains.
So what has God taught us through it all? He has taught me to trust in his timing. Piper was actually the fourth baby girl offered to us. The first offer came in December of 2008. God placed it in the heart of that first birth mother to keep that baby, and the offer was soon taken away. If we were to have received that baby, I would not have had the privilege to been able to spend all the time I did with my dad. caring for, and sharing Christ with him before he passed away. God revealed to me in his perfect timing in waiting for a baby and putting that on hold while we watched and witnessed my dad ask for Jesus. Piper was worth the wait, and it makes sense why he waited in gifting us with her until now. God was gracious to me by giving me great Christmas gifts 2 years in a row, by bringing my dad into his kingdom last Christmas, and by bringing Piper into our lives this one.
This whole process has been a real learning experience. Adoption continues to teach us. And one thing that has occurred to me is how prideful I can be about my daughter Zoe. I think having Zoe biologically, there's this propensity to take pride in her. I think about how my genes contributed in some way to her abilities or her height or her love of Mexican food. I think as parents, this can be our tendency. Our kid scores a goal or goes for 20 in a basketball game, and we beam with pride. But somehow we want to bring back their accomplishments to ourselves. But because Piper is adopted, things are different. There will be occasions when someone says, "Piper is so beautiful." And I will say, "Yes, she is. And I had nothing to do with it." So I can say that. Biologically, I gave nothing to Piper, and adopting Piper has really enforced the idea that children are gifts that we must steward well. We can enjoy these wonderful gifts, but they are meant for his glory and not ours. As we have been learning as a church, everything we have is from God and is meant for his glory, and we are meant to steward things, the things that he gives us. Both of our daughters are gifts from God to steward well. We will have to give an account as how we steward their lives. And I want my daughters to be like me in the only way that matters, in their love of Jesus.
What a blessing to hear those stories of adoption and God's grace in their lives. Before the sharing, I said that we would hear testimonies, but Christian testimonies are never meant to focus on people, but God. As much as I hope you were encouraged to hear what earthly adoption is like, I hope you are moved to worship, when you hear stories of a great God who adopted these seven people and made them his children. I hope you're excited that there are three children and one young man who are now part of our church, that we get to love them and be a part of their life, and that they're a part of our lives. But I hope you're more excited to know of our adoption into the family of God, with which comes the inheritance of God himself, and allows us to live out our faith in sacrificial, surprising, and exciting ways. Maybe one way to think about it is this. If you talk to any of the people who shared this morning, they will tell you that as much as they extended themselves in adoption or orphan care, they have been blessed in far greater ways through their adoption of someone else. And yet, as great as that blessing has been, it does not compare with the blessing of their adoption by their Heavenly Father. So as I close in prayer, my hope is simple, that we will be a church that lives out our adoption, not only reaching out to the helpless of the world, but being open to do whatever God may have us do. Will you pray with us? Heavenly Father, we know that our adoption is such a profound, exciting, mind-boggling truth, Lord. And it's amazing to think that while we were orphans and we were enemies and we were in rebellion, that you loved us and sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Not only to forgive us of our sins and not even just to allow us to enter into heaven, but to give us yourself as our Father. Lord, I pray that that adoption would move and encourage us to live completely different than the world does. Not only to reach out to the orphans of the world, Lord, but to love the people at work next to us, to share the gospel with those who don't know you, to give sacrificially to help those in need. Lord, and that this church would be a church that lives out its adoption. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.